We're talking about Engineers Without Borders. Alex Chamberlain, Nick Salazar will be our guests in the first hour. Then in the second hour, Rory Sharrock talking all things FAMU. And of course, it is FAMU's homecoming this week and for this weekend. So you want to stay tuned for some great conversation.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Friend, on the last weekend in October of 2022, I think Christmas is what, how many days away? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Christmas, especially in relation to our promotion of Christmas Connection. We have dubbed Help Christmas Connection, and the website by the same name, helpchristmasconnection.com. Get you some more updated material there for you in just a moment. I want to talk with you just briefly about the fact that we do want to recognize Florida A&M Homecoming 2022, which they dubbed The Experience. And they've been going all week in that. And of course, the parade is today, homecoming parade. That'll be cool, right? And then again, you've got all kinds of musical activity going on and celebrations of various kinds. We decided to take the opportunity then in this broadcast, in recognition of FAMU's contributions to us and to the world, and having Rory Sharrock, he for many years has been a sports writer covering FAM and its activities and such, and so we'll have him in the second hour. They've got a new athletic director, vice president of their, Tiffany Don Sykes, recently was appointed to that position, and he'll have some things to say about her anticipation. Apparently a pretty eager thing for everybody involved, and Ms. Sykes included. So, and she has a tremendous background then in her working within collegiate athletics and has particular love for FAM, so we'll find out more about that with Rory Sharrock in the second hour. Yeah, that homecoming parade actually started this morning about 8 o'clock, or we're depending on where you are in your day. The parade runs from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday this morning. And then, of course, you got the Rattlers playing this afternoon, and they're playing Arkansas Pine Bluff. Yep, they are the Lions. You got the Rattlers playing the Lions, And so it'll be a great game, no doubt. And we certainly want the best for our beloved Rattlers. So go get them. Even further, we want to talk at length with these two fine young men, Alex Chamberlain, Nick Salazar, engineering students, Florida A&M, FSU School of Engineering, a joint program, and in particular, their involvement in something called Engineers Without Borders, which in its now 20-plus years has been reaching out across the world. I think to date, something like 39 countries where they've had opportunity to go in as teams of engineers and address specific challenges, we'll say, bringing fresh water or bringing housing or other kinds of structures. In this case, Nick and Alex were there in Guatemala to build a school for these children who otherwise were basically working inside of a wood shack with no running water. So they'll get into the details of that in this first hour here. And it speaks to, I think, at least our intention is to underscore the contributions that Florida A&M makes and has made for its history. And in fact, for that, in that regard, if you look at their beginnings, you know, this was a land grant opportunity to start a school back in the 1800s. And in that capacity, it's gone through a number of iterations and has been referred to in different fashion under different titles. Not unlike Florida State University at one time, a women's college, right? And a military institute. Well, FAM has gone through those kinds of progressions, evolutionary sorts of changes over the years, the decades. And in that capacity, we see them now on this world stage with something like Engineers Without Borders, this chapter of this worldwide organization in which you see these students carrying out what is the stated mission for Florida A&M. In that regard, you know, they have made it their pledge to provide not only education, but to provide opportunity for students and faculty to contribute to the world's good. It's not accidental. So their motto is excellence with caring. And as a publicly funded, historically black land-grant university, as it's referred to, started back in 1887, so they're 135 years old. And they are certainly part of the, of course, the state university system of Florida, with an endowment of over $95 million, a budget of about $375 million. Currently, the president, Larry Robinson, presides. We'll talk at length with Rory Chirac about this recent appointment with their new athletic director, who will also serve as vice president, Tiffany Dawn Sykes. But I think what brings us closer to the question of the day. We have been in this discussion now for some time, have we not, as a community. When we look at funding priorities, when we look at projects that are launched around the community in various capacities, some as public improvements, some as housing developments. Here you have a university that says we're not only going to look to our own betterment as students and faculty, we're going to look beyond our borders and say, how do we contribute most sizably to those who are without? that same philosophy, I think, that same perspective, we could quickly say needs to be applied here. And there are many of you who are involved in various kinds of organizations that are doing just that. We salute you for it. So with that in mind, we're going to take just a quick break, and I'll be back to tell you more about our role in contributing to the welfare of families. We call it Help Christmas Connection.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Darling, I'll wait for you.
We're back. We're talking about Help Christmas Connection, which is our annual campaign here at Tallahassee Talks in conjunction with other media partners, Moose Magnificat Radio and Lamar Advertising, 93.3 Real Talk here in Tallahassee. We have at the same time those sponsors who step up and say, hey, we want to make sure that we are doing our part. And so we run what amounts to a fairly significant amount of advertising on behalf of our own beloved local Christmas Connection, which has in and of itself a substantial history, 40 plus years, started back in 79, with this idea in mind that there are families throughout the region who through the entire year, from year to year, are struggling. And they are receiving professional guidance and help and assistance, courtesy of the various social service agencies, the professional social workers that are there on their behalf. Well, it's that conduit. It is that connection with those professionals that Christmas Connection finds opportunity. And so what they're doing then is looking to you and I to say, if you can, if you will, contribute to our efforts with donations of toys and household items, food donations, and even more, I suppose, more advanced in their efforts, this idea of going to the Amazon wish list that they've established. You can go there and shop on behalf of Christmas Connection, and those items then are going to be sent directly to their headquarters, which is now in full operation. We have, for our part, created a website that amounts to a sort of depot. It's that hub that provides you a lot of resource as to how the organization goes about doing what it does. It provides you additional ideas for things that you can contribute. And in fact, there are ways in which you can donate just by buying a gift card. So you can go to any particular retailer that you favor. You buy a gift card, and that becomes your gift then to families in need. And you can bring that to Christmas Connection, and they'll make sure that it's provided appropriately. The level of accountability with this organization is what we found most notable when we started doing this ad campaign now 20 years ago. We thought, wow, if I'm asking people to contribute, to support this organization, to what degree do I have the assurance that those contributions, those donations, are going to be used in the most effective, the most accountable manner? Well, my friend, I can tell you firsthand, I mean, because I've been doing this a while, and I've been on site, and I've worked shoulder to shoulder with a lot of those volunteers. They are the real deal. You have people that have started volunteering over there at Christmas Connection 20 years ago and have since left Tallahassee. They live elsewhere. But I know of several that will actually come back to Tallahassee during the holidays, during Christmas time, to simply contribute their time. They're here to volunteer because they believe so strongly and they have seen so dramatically the results of those efforts. That says a lot, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't keep paddling the boat if I'm going backwards, if I'm not getting anywhere. You see the results of this effort, and it's encouraging. People driving up with pickup trucks full of brand new bicycles, just offloading there at the dock, the loading dock. On this occasion, that is to say for this season, you'll find their headquarters over there at Appalachia Parkway and Capitol Circle Southeast, right on the corner where you'll see the signs. And if it's unfamiliar to you, you may know that it's next door to the Leon County Supervisor of Elections office. So that's for your sake. If you want to drive over there and bring them some new toys, make sure that the items are new. That's important. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to bring you additional updates as we approach Christmas, because there is an advanced period here. Bear in mind that, and for that reason, we start so early in the season. But bear in mind that all of these things that are donated, all of the toys and the household items and food, has to be gathered and sorted and organized and then distributed appropriately. And it's those same professional social workers who are making those deliveries to these households. So there's a clear line of delivery, a chain of command, if you want, or certainly a distribution methodology that is admirable. So there you go. It's a chance for you and I to do something significant. And as I say, as we approach in the next several weeks, we'll try to bring to you some of the other folks behind the scenes that can share with you their stories as to why they do what they do. It's part of what we're doing today in talking about the contributions that Tallahassee makes, that you and I make. You're going to hear in the second, in just a little bit here, in the second hour, from Roy Schirach and what he's doing as a sports writer for FAMU to tell their story. Or we'll look at Alex Chamberlain and Nick Salazar. They're coming up here shortly. What it means when we invest ourselves. You know, it goes beyond political philosophy. It really gets down to solutions. If you're willing to say, my belief system includes extending beyond my own personal borders. Here you have engineering students who travel all the way to Guatemala and do so with glad hearts. And they will share in their remarks that from their standpoint, they were the bigger beneficiaries. They're the ones who got more out of the whole experience in their estimation. What they learned, how it changed their perspective. And it speaks to the notion that is fundamental, I think, to our whole culture. You know, we talk about liberty and freedom. Well, from one point of view, that amounts to simply having license. You know, I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Well, that's a perverted definition of freedom. Freedom is, more importantly, the ability to take responsibilities for yourself, to take opportunities in hand. And your primary effort at that point is to say, what can I do with the freedoms I've been granted to help other people achieve more? It's the mark of real leadership when you're helping other people achieve for themselves.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
There are many things in life that we take for granted. Would that be a fair statement? I mean, living the lives that we do, so much is provided for us. That's just become part of our daily expectation. The roads we drive, the cars we drive, things like electricity and air conditioning and heat, and the houses we occupy. And there's so much that goes on every day, provided for you and I by a lot of people. Let's think about this. You walk into the store and the shelves are just bristling, right, with choices. When it happens that a community is faced with crisis, maybe it's short-term, maybe like the way Hurricane Hermine came through and reminded us all just how much we have and how much we do take for granted. So here you have an opportunity with our guest this morning to learn a little bit more about what it means when an entire community is faced, not just for a week or a month, but for an extended period of time. Perhaps this has become just the way of life for a community in which fresh water is not granted and it is not easily acquired, and the consistent supply of that fresh water should not be assumed. So when we first discovered this organization now here, maybe 3 years ago or so, Engineers Without Borders, we discovered that these are university students who, as engineering students, purpose themselves in the direction of communities that are faced with that kind of plight. And it happened again recently. The FAMU-FSU chapter of Engineers Without Borders decided to go to a small village in central Guatemala near a town called Hoyaba. And they found a schoolhouse there. They found the opportunity to build a schoolhouse for this village. The current schoolhouse, the one that they found, was a temporary structure, untreated wood walls, no hand washing station, and only one schoolroom. So they walked in and said, well, we can make a difference. And they spent
I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks working to build this schoolhouse. Two schoolrooms, kitchen and storage area, proper bathroom facilities, serving up to 50 children in the area. Project cost them around $20,000. And the village was able to contribute about 5% of that. So where'd the rest of the money come from? It came from people like you and me, who said, you know, that's a good project. That is an effort that is worth our investment. It's not our kids. It's not our schoolhouse. Our kids have a schoolhouse, and they have fresh water. Let's extend beyond these borders and find a way to invest in this other group of kids. So this morning I've got with me a couple of young men who are part of this whole effort. Nick Salazar, Alex Chamberlain, members of Engineers Without Borders. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing fabulous.
Doing well, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
This was what you did for Christmas, is that right? Pretty much, this was back in December.
This was. What we actually did was we went on an assessment trip. So we spent about a week there meeting the community, assessing the site, the potential site for the school, extracting all the necessary data, speaking to the locals, talking to the local government, some support that EWB has over there. And essentially what we did was we opened the doors to this project. So we'll actually be building later this year, but that was the essentially opening the dialogue. That was the introduction to this. And it allowed us to get started on the actual design of it, which is currently what we're doing.
I got you.
So our team is currently designing the school.
I see.
We should be finished around April. And aside from design, we're gathering the funds necessary to actually implement this.
So this is not a completed project. This is ongoing.
This is ongoing, correct.
Process.
Absolutely.
So good timing that you're here saying that, hey, folks, we could use a little help if you're still inclined. And for that purpose, I wanted to play this PSA that we created here a few weeks back. And I think that, Nick, you're actually one of the stars of the show. You're actually in this ad, aren't you?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So we had a group of these fellows come from Engineers Without Borders and record with us here in the studio. Let's take a listen to that, Carl.
Engineers Without Borders builds a better world through engineering projects that empower communities to meet their basic human needs.
Through our organization, students and professionals in the U.S. are equipped to solve the world's most pressing challenges while becoming leaders in their fields.
This year, our FAMU-FSU chapter of Engineers Without Borders is building a schoolhouse for a small village in central Guatemala near a town called Hoyawa. Their current schoolhouse is a temporary structure with untreated wood walls, no hand washing station, and only one schoolroom.
We'll be designing a schoolhouse with two classrooms, a kitchen storage area, and a proper bathroom. It'll be able to serve up to 50 children in the area. We've estimated that the project will cost around $20,000, of which the village is contributing 5%, along with labor and equipment.
Donate, connect, or join Engineers Without Borders, because you don't have to be an engineer to engineer a better world.
So there you have it, a well-produced, thanks to Carl and others who contributed there, ad that you guys can now bring to other radio stations, and I trust that they will do so in sharing your story, and particularly because it is a story that doesn't begin and end with this project, does it? I mean, Engineers Without Borders goes on and on and on looking for these kinds of opportunities. Alex, you have participated in some of this. Where did it begin for you? How did you get involved?
Well, I'd say it started about a year ago, and I was just looking for something to get involved with. And I saw, I found the website, and I thought, that's something that's, they stand for something good, and that's worthwhile.
Right.
It's something worth investing your time in.
Right. I love the slogan, I guess you'd call it, or the tagline. You don't have to be an engineer to help engineer the world. That's a cool thing. That website is a great place for people to visit, as I recall.
This is our specific website for our chapter here at Florida State.
Very nice.
So right there you can get a basic synopsis of our project, our mission, some current pictures of our project.
Lovely.
The opportunity to donate, to comment, to ask a question, even become involved in any way that you'd like. So
I like that. And this is intercollegiate between Florida State University and Florida A&M. So you have members from both campuses.
Correct, we do. So something very interesting, actually, in this country is our college. Our College of Engineering is a joint college that it is shared with FAMU and right, Florida State. So that's the special, unique thing about this.
Yeah. The visit, the trip that you took to Guatemala and those that you met with, tell me about your initial reactions, Alex. Sort of getting off the plane and looking around, what went through your mind?
I'd say it was shocking, you know, because we come from America, we come from here, and we have what we have. We see all these nice cars on the road, we see, you know, nice paved roads, and we see, you know, buildings everywhere. Mm. And so you get off the plane, and it's just not like that at all. Mm-mm. Especially when we landed in Guatemala City, so it was fairly developed there. As soon as you get on the road and start heading out to these remote little villages, everything's different. Mm-hmm. Everything's hand-built, and it's just not what you're used to. It's just mm-hmm. completely different life.
Mm. Folks, stay with me. We've got Alex Chamberlain here, Nick Salazar, members of Engineers Without Borders, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking about what happens when students, engineering students, who find themselves in touch with specific areas of need around the world, organize themselves in such a way that they make a direct contribution. They impact the lives of a lot of people. Doesn't get a lot of celebration, in my view. They don't grab world headlines for the work that they do, but then the things that really matter in life seldom do, I think. And yet these folks, men and women, engineering students, FSU, FAMU, come together. And you guys do this on an ongoing basis. So this most recent project, this schoolhouse in Guatemala, is one of many. I recall when we first met, the design of, and this was in fact a design that was initiated among you and then implemented, involved the purification of runoff, rainwater that was running off of the houses in this particular village. And that was remarkable to me, that it was a sort of, I call it an Apollo 13 sort of solution, you know, because you're faced with, this is the way it is, and here's what you've got in your hand to resolve that problem or try to aid in some fashion. Fix it, you know. And you seem undaunted about that whole thing. I mean, Alice, you talked about being a bit shocked when you finally landed and got a chance to see some of these folks, everything handmade, right? Mm-hmm. What were the people like as you got to know them?
I'd say the people were probably one of the best parts about the trip, because they're just, they don't really care that they don't have much. They don't really know that they don't have much is the big thing. But they're just the nicest people you'll ever meet. Huh. They're more than willing to help. I think we had a couple villagers take us to go fishing down the mountain with us, and then they cooked us soup with the fish. And they're just so friendly. Yeah. They're just very, very nice and very welcoming and very open. Huh. They share their houses with us for us to stay in while we were there.
Yeah.
It's,
upon your return to Tallahassee then, how did that affect the way you see how we live?
Well, it was very eye-opening. Yeah, it really opens your eyes and your heart to all the things that you take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, we come home to air conditioning every night. We have a car that we can drive whenever we want to go get groceries.
Yeah.
And there was a man who walked down the mountain that they live on and up the following mountain just to buy a bag of coffee. You know, he said it was, I think, a 16-hour trip to get coffee. And for us, it's a 5-minute drive to Publix.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult when you are among us now and you find us a bit unappreciative or even impatient or not enjoying a level of humility that perhaps we ought to?
Definitely when you first get back, that's a big thing. But then you're back for a little while and you start to fall back into it. And I'm very guilty of taking things for granted a lot of times, but
yeah.
That's why these trips are very important, I think, is because not only are you helping somebody else, you're opening your own eyes to.
Yeah. And, you know, Nick, I think that may be, in a curious sort of way, how you are contributing to our welfare. You know, you guys go out and you do these remarkable works for people who don't expect you to do it for them. They are gracious and grateful. But as you give us this view of other parts of the world, I wonder how it affects us, as Alex is talking about here. Are we moved past a kind of self-centered, narcissistic way of living? And maybe we're a bit humbled? Maybe we're a bit more grateful?
Absolutely. This trip is it's as much for them as it is for us in that regard. Mm. When you go on a trip like this, it's impossible to not be moved and to not to shake and alter your world. So, this type of trips, this type of exposure, this type of awareness really changes your life, you know, especially for us North Americans. So, yeah, these trips do change us, and in a good way, I think, right? So they bring this humility, they bring this understanding to your life that, you know, we were very fortunate to live the life that we live.
It strikes me that you both, and maybe this is true for all of you, it certainly has been true with those that I've met thus far, came to this work with a kind of belief system and attitude about life. You know, it's a question, you know, did Engineers Without Borders find you, or did you find it? And you guys seem to be the kinds of people who would seek out this sort of opportunity. And if it didn't exist, maybe you'd get involved and create it. Is that how it was for you, Alex? I mean, you come from a family where this is what you're supposed to do, to help other people.
Yes, I would say so. When I was younger, I would always, you know, volunteer at Metropolitan Ministries and things like that around Thanksgiving time and Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my senior year of high school, I went to the Dominican Republic on a school trip.
Uh-huh.
We were there for a week and we were teaching the kids there in their schoolhouses because they didn't have enough teachers. So that trip is, I think, really what sparked my
awareness.
My awareness, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so then when I found Engineers Without Borders, it was...
There we go.
Yeah, I kind of had to.
Yeah. You were teaching, and this was when you were in high school.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that was an initiative that came through the school that where you were attending?
Yes. Okay. So we... It was through a program called Outreach 360. And we ended up taking, I think, about 30 students to the Dominican Republic to teach in their schoolhouses. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, their grade levels were just all intertwined. You were mm-hmm. teaching kids that were in kindergarten through sixth grade, all in one classroom.
Now, interestingly, that was high school. Here you are, a student at Florida State, I assume?
Yes, sir.
And beyond graduation, now what? I mean, if you're no longer a student, are you able to participate in EWB? I mean, how does that work?
Absolutely. So there's many different ways you can stay involved. So typically what would happen in Alex and my case is we would become mentors to this chapter.
See.
We'd become professional mentors. So we would both, you know, we'd go out and begin our careers, and we wouldn't contribute in a capacity as a student, but more as a professional mentor. So we would assist the up-and-coming elected board, or we could also become part of a professional chapter. So we're a student chapter here at Florida State and FAMU, but there's professional chapters throughout the country that is typically, you know, just professionals already on the field. And they contribute after work and on the weekends.
The organization is Engineers Without Borders, the student chapter here at FAMU FSU School of Engineering. Our friends Nick Salazar, I love that name, Nick Salazar. Alex Chamberlain, our guest this morning, folks. If you have an opportunity to go to the website, take a look and get involved. You can contribute directly in that fashion.
That's what I've got for you here. We'll be back after the top of the hour with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all kinds of good information, good news, conversations with people who are applying themselves in ways that make things better for us. You know, there's always plenty of opportunity if you want to scrape the stable floor. You'll pull up all kinds of refuse to talk about. Okay, so that's my exaggerated hyperbole here, telling you that Yeah, man, I'm just not into yakking about everything that's gone wrong. There's plenty of people doing that. Frankly, it just gets a little tiresome. Particularly, I'm more interested, maybe you are too, maybe that's why you listen, in finding out what it is that we can do or in finding out what others are doing to move the needle forward, to move us all into a better place. My gosh, if we thought that everything was hunky-dory, we wouldn't be so emphatic. So we know the negatives. I think they're pretty clear. Some people seem to live in a kind of foggy world. They never look over the fence, never look into the next zip code. God help them that they should even travel down some of those roads. But if you choose to do so, or if you just trust the people who've done that, listen to what they're talking about. And maybe you've never been inside of a one-room shack in Guatemala that was didn't even have running water. Their excuse for a schoolroom. That was it. And here come these engineering students bringing to bear their skills. They even figured out how to provide a water purification system. Yeah. So if you find that inspiring, well, look around, my friend. You and I've got plenty of opportunities. And my goodness, in this town, the social service agencies, the charities, in the hundreds, upwards of maybe 1,000, not to mention your own church group. I encourage you to draw inspiration from the people that we talk with here on this show, who bring to us their own good-heartedness as well as their candor. You know, there are no guarantees in any of this stuff. Of course not. But why would that ever have stopped us? You know, you don't go into a ball game thinking, well, you know, we might lose. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy right there, man. No, you go into the competition, the effort to say, we can win this game. We could achieve this goal. Go for that goal. Make it possible, not only for yourself, but the people around you. Grab them by the arm and say, hey, let's go do this. Let's make it a reality. And we see so much of that going on, both in public and private efforts. You know, we're approaching a significant election in the next few days. And a lot of those issues that have been tossed around may seem a bit, I don't know, wearisome. There's certainly a lot of mudslinging to go with that. But I guess for me, it always comes back to this sort of mantra. You know, who are those who are seeking the most possible, greatest possible good for the greatest number of people for the greatest period of time? I mean, if that can be discerned, if you can determine in some fashion, and I grant you that, you know, just like that ball game, whether you're Mike Norvell or Lonnie Alameda, you know, you get tagged, you get criticized for the play that you called. Now, how do you move the ball forward? Well, maybe our playbook when it comes to dealing with those in need, and not in a need that we notice necessarily, but maybe at a level that is a bit more advanced. And we talk a lot here about basic human needs, hunger being principal, safety, of course, health, yes. But there, I think, is a fundamental concern that betrays the whole Maslowian pyramid, you know, this hierarchy of needs. And his notion was, well, you can't really go to the highest level of self-actualization until you've addressed and dealt with and met those basic human needs. I'm not sure I agree with that. In fact, I've toyed with the notion of just flipping that thing on its head. And I think, in fact, when we address first who we are, what we're worth, and why we're here, we're better equipped individually and collectively to achieve those things that are going to bring about the satisfaction of more fundamental needs. And I think in that capacity, we find ourselves motivated to not just go for the day, but we go for the lifetime. We go for an extended effort that says, I want to do more because I'm worth it, because I have purpose, and I'm willing to risk, I'm willing to make sacrifices and take those risks, put myself out there, in spite of my own lack. I'm going to commit myself no matter whether I have everything I need in hand or not. I mean, honestly, the people that I see most often in these feet on the ground sort of efforts, they're not wealthy people. Some are, but mostly you find the people who themselves are right in there, just trying to take care of the basics, going from day to day, going week to week. But they have something energetic about their effort. I think they've come to realize that meeting basic needs is really not the calling that is distinctly human. I mean, look around you in the natural world. You know, every living creature out there does pretty much that same thing, looking for food every day. But when we turn it around and say, you know, I think I want to commit myself to a more advanced, we'll call it, certainly more human endeavor, that humanity says, I can know better why I'm here. I can know better how I am valued by others or how I think of myself. I know better than who I really am.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Florida A&M has, for its history, provided us a remarkable demonstration of academic contribution, and FAMS graduates have gone on to do great things nationally. And one of those people that has made it his business to keep us abreast of, particularly FAMU athletics, a guy named Rory Sharrock, who in his early days as a sports journalist up there in Atlanta, just kind of got the bug. You know, he had a passion for it, interest in it. Turned out he was pretty good. Apparently his elementary school teacher, or one of them, told his mother that he talked too much in class. Thank goodness, because this is a guy who has a lot to say about athletics in general, especially collegiate athletics, and particularly Florida A&M University. Let's welcome Rory Sharrock. How are you, man?
Man, that's a great introduction. I hope I can live up to that. Good to see you again.
We all do, believe me. We're believing with you. It happens that, for me, you're a guy then who found something early on in your young adult life, and it clicked. And, I mean, I would liken this to people who've discovered they have athletic ability early on, and then somehow, some way, people in their lives, or maybe they just do this on their own, I don't think so, because usually you'll find five or six family members, parents and others, saying, oh yeah, the guy was 3 years old, we knew he was going to go play for the NFL someday. But you're a guy who said, well, I may not be playing, I may not be out there on the field doing that, but I want to understand better what it's like. How is it that it works? Is that a fair description?
That is. I knew, really, I'd like to say, and I'm going to date myself here, the shift in my life. I was 9 years old. My grandfather took me to Shea Stadium to see the Mets. And that was the first ever live sporting event I've ever been to.
Wow.
And I just was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. The Mets won, by the way. And I just was like,
we're not going to go to that at the moment, out of respect for your mourning.
Yeah,
I know you're in a place of mourning right now.
But they won that day. And I just was like, oh my gosh, this is the most beautiful thing ever. Huh. And then even growing up and in high school, I knew that, like, I mean, from that moment on, I was hook, line, and sinker with sports. My mom thought it was just a phase. I was like, no, I really love this stuff. And then in high school, I realized that as much as you love football, it's not in the cards for you. Uh-huh. And I said, I want to get into sports media. I knew I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to study sports media. And I've just been walking that out ever since then.
Ever since.
Yeah.
And you're not 9 years old anymore.
No, I'm not.
Well, me neither. I like the idea that you have taken the talent that you were given, that you discovered, the interests that you had, even then, and then begin to navigate. You begin to find a pathway. Where did you go to college?
I am a proud graduate of Johnson C. Smith University, the Golden Bulls. Charlotte, North Carolina, CIAA for life, HBCU pride.
Look at that.
Yeah. Love my
You've
black colleges.
You've said that a few times.
Yes.
Historically, black colleges, I think oftentimes, is it fair to say, are misunderstood or just not understood at all? We have a misconception about their contributions, or
think that there was a period where, obviously, that was all we had.
Yeah.
And, I mean, before you could go to play at Alabama, you were going to Alabama State. You were going to Tuskegee.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Florida State wasn't.
No.
So you were going to FAMU. Or University of Georgia said, no, we're closing the doors. So you're going to Morehouse or Albany State. I think it's Governor Wiles from Alabama, segregation now, today, segregation forever. And was standing, you know, at the steps, if I got the dates correct, at the University of Alabama, like, no, we're not letting people in. You'd be hard pressed to find any football contributions or any, you know, to the University of Alabama. Nick Saban, yes, he's the head coach, but you look down the line.
I watched a 30 for 30 documentary the other day that chronicled Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And all of the vitriol, the anger, the heartbreak, the travesty that went on through
they're still called the Rebels. They got rid of that mascot who was the old white man standing there with the shotgun. But we knew what that was. And even with them waving the Confederate flag, it's still there. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. We're in the Deep South. But HBCUs were relevant then, and they're relevant now. The difference being, although there are options, people are realizing that they got a bad label somewhat. Integration was good and bad.
Yeah.
The bad side of integration is that it really cut at the core of HBCUs.
How so?
Because of the fact of now I can go to Ole Miss or I can go to Alabama, I can go to Georgia.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of the talent.
The population itself just
moved away. From the athletic standpoint.
Yeah.
So you're somebody like a Bo Jackson would have easily played at Alabama State or Alabama A&M.
Yeah.
He goes on to win the Heisman at Auburn. God bless Bo. And that's great.
Sure. And God bless Auburn.
And God bless Auburn. But you think about things like that where so that cut into schools or any school. Florida State has their financial issues.
Right, so.
But the schools like that aren't the economics. We're not on a level playing field.
Yeah.
And so as HBCUs, we kind of huddle together and celebrated the past.
Which characterizes Black America.
Right.
I mean, am I overstating this?
No, no.
I mean, that's how
it's a part of, it's a definite, I mean, we're now in the white, I'm sure we've been in there before, but Kamala Harris is a graduate, she did an undergrad at Howard University, which is a HBCU in Washington, D.C. So we celebrate that and we realize that HBCUs are still relevant. Jackson State signed the number one prospect last year, who Florida State was on his list.
Wow.
And so you think about how we nowadays, and a lot of it had to do with the current climate of the awakening of the Black Lives Matter movement, the social injustice. Hey, lest we forget our institutions.
Yeah.
And so you're getting those unfortunate incidents, whether it be the Mike Brown shooting or any of these incidents, have led to a enrollment increase over the past 10 years in HBCUs.
Wow.
And now the schools are starting
to... And recruitment, too.
Yes. Now we have to get off of the, the ESPNs or those are the only places where we can get some money.
Yeah.
Where we can generate our own revenue, our own streaming services to showcase the great talent.
Talking with Rory Sherrock takes my breath away, the amount of information that you have at your disposal, and provocative in that you are not laying judgment, but simply pointing to, hey, here are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Here is how this history has rolled out. It's up to us to try to figure out where we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going from here to a break, and we'll be back with more. You stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. there's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
We're back. We're talking with Rory Sharrock. Folks, my mistake was that I thought I could get all this done in one show, so clearly we're just going to have to contract with him somehow to come back and talk with us periodically. Near and dear to your heart and to those of us who are big fans of Florida A&M, and I'm one of them, that's a program. Their athletic program has had its highs and its lows. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could say that's not true of any collegiate program, including our near and dear Florida State University, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, the thought that Oklahoma would not be in the top five was unthinkable. Or Nebraska, right? So this is life. Things come and go. Coaches come and go. When you think of where Florida A&M is today, now I know they have just announced this week or a couple of weeks ago the new AD for Florida A&M. Tell me about what you know.
The new AD was announced on October 12th. Her name is Tiffany Dawn Sykes. She comes from Dartmouth College, or is it university? I don't know. The Ivy League school that's in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
This is her first job as director of athletics. She also has the title of vice president on her business card now at FAMU. But she has a tremendous background from compliance to sports information to being an associate AD, SWA, senior women administrator. And her work spans from her student athlete days playing at Virginia State University, another HBCU. She's worked in the SWAC, MEAC. And so she said in her press conference that this was her dream job.
Wow.
And so she comes in and she's got a lot of work. It's not going to be easy. I've been covering FAMU since 2018.
Right.
And including the interim AD of whom she's replacing, she's AD number four. And
in a relatively short period of time.
And there are, FAMU is the number one public HBCU. Oh. And I believe it's in the top 100. And this is U.S. News and World Report. Okay. And I believe it's in the top 100 or top 125 overall. Wow. Of public universities.
Wow.
And so that's beautiful. Yep. And this is the fourth year in a row that it's the number one public HBCU.
Right.
But the athletics department, in terms of the revolving door of leadership, the all of those things doesn't match up to what's going on at Lee Hall. And like it or not, right, wrong, or indifferent, athletics is the front porch of any university. Nobody knows who the president of Alabama is. Everybody knows Nick Saban. You don't care. It's not that you don't care, you're being callous, but different programs, different institutions.
It's just awareness.
At Notre Dame, all you care about is the national thing is football. Mm-hmm. At Duke University, it's basketball. Mm-hmm. And
when you say Notre Dame, I think of
Newt Rockne.
Yeah,
you know, win one for the Gipper, the Four Horsemen. And I think, and I say this tongue in cheek, but someone could find the cure for the common cold at one of these prestigious universities. But you want to just know, okay, are they going to win the national championship?
Record, yeah.
Yeah, what's their record?
Yep.
So Miss Tiffany has a lot of work ahead of her, and her official start date will be in January, at the early part of the year. So she's going to kick off 2023 officially here in Tallahassee.
Wow. When we think of the history that has been a part of FAM over the last decade or so, and there have been those times, and I was, as you're talking, I'm thinking about this conversation we had with Gerald Inslee back in 2012, and it was about that time, not long prior to that conversation, that Robert Champion, who was a student, died in a hazing incident down there in Orlando. Eventually, the director, Dr. White, resigned, and then eventually, Dr. Ammons, who was president at the time, resigned. Well, Gerald made this statement about FAM, and he said that we don't do them any favors by not holding them to a standard that we would hold Florida State to, or any other college. But for the fact that we have this sort of, well, you know, it's FAM, that's a kind of racism, I suppose, certainly a class sort of thinking or stereotypic thinking that flies in the face of what you're talking about. One of the most celebrated colleges in the country with a tremendous history, and yet when that begins to infect or affect their own expectations of themselves, then we find them, well, that financially they're not managing their own business very well.
I think that, and I know being here only since 2018, I know that there are a lot more people who can speak with a stronger command of authority, alums or longtime Tallahasseans. But from what I've learned over my short period of time and in conversations is that there is the quote-unquote FAMU way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times where the high level of accountability isn't always there. And there is such a tremendous amount of pride and pageantry.
Yes.
When it comes to wearing the orange and green. When it comes to saying that you are a proud alum of Florida Agricultural Mechanical University. But it has to go beyond that in the sense of, okay, and that was so horrible. I remember when that band member,
Robert Champion,
died. Yeah, because he's from the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
He's from DeKalb County, which is just another outlying county of the city of Atlanta. But I think that while that's never going to be forgotten, it's thank God it's moved on.
Yep.
But in the sense of there does need to be a higher level of accountability, and right is right and wrong is wrong, and definitely having more forward-thinking business practices, policies, and procedures so that you can match up with your peers.
When you show up for a football game and you find out that part of your roster didn't make the trip because of ineligibility.
Well, it was a compliance thing more so than ineligibility. So it wasn't like anything dealing with academics.
Okay.
It was just more so of compliance. And there's a lot of layers to unfold with that. Staff, shorthandedness, sloppiness, and things. And they're still trying to clear that and get that resolved. And I don't know
Compliance with NCAA?
Yes.
Okay.
And so that was during the press conference for Miss Tiffany Dawn Sykes. That was something that was brought up on multiple occasions.
I would imagine.
From media and student athletes who were there to address questions to make sure that moving forward we don't have these same type of issues.
It's the situation I found myself in as a kid when it was my birthday and I invited all my friends and my dad went to JCPenney and he got one of those above ground inflatable pools, right? And he was so proud of himself, except for one thing. He forgot how many kids were coming to this party. Well, that pool was big enough to handle about three people.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And there's 30 of us now. His heart was in the right place, but his head was not in the game. And I often think about that, whether it's whatever institution. I mean, we're picking on fam here, but we could say that about a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah. Right? This is something that is nationwide. It is. I remember when they dealt with the probation, and it was like, I mean, it's over with now, but when they dealt with it, like, oh my gosh, fam, you doing this again? And I'm like, okay. It was just days or weeks later, University of Kansas. Kansas basketball. Yeah. We're talking about one of the blue bloods of the sport.
Right.
Dealing with the same exact issues at Florida A&M.
Right.
But why is it so much that, like, oh my gosh, fam, you having this? Oh, Kansas? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now, I get it. That's Kansas, and we're here in Tallahassee. But, I mean, it's the same thing. Even at the University of North Carolina, another blue blood of college basketball.
Stereotypic thinking.
Dealing with the same thing.
Is a problem for all of us. All of us. And when I begin to accept those definitions, those perceptions that have been handed me, I receive that and say, yeah, you know, you're right. I am not helping my own cause. So I think that's where people like you can step in and say, well, time out. Wait a minute. Let's look at how that playing field lays out, because you got Kansas over here, FAMU. What's the difference? When you when you ask that question, it means we have to figure out what that difference is. Folks, I got Rory Schrock with me. Smart guy he is. Much better looking than I am. That's okay, because we're on the radio. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Folks, we're back. We're talking with Rory Schrock. He's a smart guy, and he knows a whole lot about collegiate athletics, especially. I think we could probably tap him for a lot of business related to the sports world. But his real love these days is FAMU, and he's not alone in that. And I think that I think about some of the legendary players that have come through the ranks of Florida A&M. And should we mention one particular legendary coach who all of the other coaches would come and learn from? Right. We talked about this here a couple of weeks ago, and now his home is actually on the National Historic Registry. It was being torn down. And one of our guests on the show some time ago, he came and talked to us about how he was a local
Cornelius
business guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just happened to come across this disheveled house, and turned out it was the house of the coach. He walked in and here's all these photos of this legendary coach from Florida A&M. Tell us about him.
Jake Gaither. Let me start off by saying College Football Hall of Famer, Jake Gaither. FAMU Sports Hall of Famer, Jake Gaither. The legendary Jake Gaither. I knew of his accolades before coming here. Then once you get here, you see and embrace it. And I'm even blessed to not live far from his home. And I had a chance to go in his home. And what I wish that it was more of a museum. That people really would like, it's a shrine to the game of football. That this man's house was where he had players come by all the time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Where there's a photo of them playing, him and his wife, and I don't know who the other people are there. They're playing spades. And then when you think about how people from, whether it be Bear Bryant or Woody Hayes or whatever, that learned.
They came to his summer clinics, my friend.
And learned from Jake Gaither.
They sure did.
Just amazing.
He was. And by all accounts, he was, as you are suggesting, a genuine soul. He really loved people.
Mm-hmm.
He was respected by his players, by his colleagues. And another Tallahassee treasure. It seems to me that part of your fascination, I'll put words in your mouth here, but may come from that. That Tallahassee has all of these remarkable contributions to the world in general, and among them Jake Gaither, Florida A&M, Frenchtown. Has that then been the impetus for you to stay? Have you decided, hey, I'm going to make Tallahassee my home for that reason? Or what's
you know, thinking? Tallahassee, initially, it was a culture shock coming. I'm a native New Yorker who lived in Atlanta for 20 years. So when I got to, before moving here, when we came to visit, I had never been to Tallahassee. Although what I knew about Tallahassee, FAMU, FSU, and it's the state capital.
Right.
So when we got here, I was just like, wow, this is a culture shock. It's so much slower. But it's a college town, and I love college football.
Hey.
And so when you think about, I would argue, and I know that people here can say, well, yeah, but when you're a transplant who has no ties to either one of the schools, you have a different mindset. Mm-hmm. That this is arguably the number one city for college football. Mm-hmm. When you think about FAMU and FSU being right across the tracks, literally and figuratively from one another. But there was one point in the late 90s when FSU won the national championship.
Right.
And FAMU set all those scoring records under head coach Billy Joe.
Yes.
And what they were doing, that you basically had two powers in one city. I mean, in Tuscaloosa, it's University of Alabama and Stillman College. And Stillman is never like someone that's really feared in the SIAC. Mm. Or if you think about in South Bend, Indiana, it's just Notre Dame. I don't know what else is there. In Athens, it's just the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miami just has, and they're in Coral Gables, technically. So even when they were doing all of their dominance, it wasn't another school, not saying on the same, but that was doing equally good in their arena. So Tallahassee really is like the capital of college football. So that helped me just really like, no, this place is pretty cool. And it grew on me. And then I've been blessed to meet great people like yourself and so many others that I've made connections with and found a great church home that has just really made me be like, I can dig it here
this
and
is it for
I
you.
Can stay for a while. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be an old man and retire here.
We don't. Well, you and I are both old men.
Yeah,
already,
yeah. All so these gray hairs would tell a different story.
That part's done.
But I do love it here. I like it a lot.
What prompts me to ask you this? I think about you originally got here because of your relationship with Tallahassee Democrat. Is that what brought you here, or no?
A FAMU tie. The late, great Ken Riley was inducted in the Black College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta in 2015.
Okay.
I think it was then. But I was working as a freelance writer. And as a freelance writer, Atlanta always has things that are going on. So I would just, if an event of some major significance or a game, I'd look up the local paper if they had to, someone was connected and, hey, are you covering this? If not, I'm here. I can do it. That's what, when you're a freelance writer, that's how
that's
you do.
How you make
know,
your living.
You know, I get the T-shirt. We'll write for food. So I looked up the editorial staff here at the Tallahassee Democrat. Was like, hey, this guy's going into Black College Football Hall of Fame. Are you coming up? No, well, I'm here, so I'll do it. And I did that, and met Ken Riley. Covered the event. My wife Lakita was there with me, I believe. Then shook his hands after the end, see you later, and that was it. 2018, a position became available, and I was just looking online at jobs, and I said, oh, wow. Huh. I'm going to reach back out to these people, see if, you know, hey, I did something for you in the past. And the editor said, I was thinking of you when this position became
open.
Look
at that. Was that Skip Foster?
Jim Henry.
Jim, okay.
And but Skip was there at the time.
Right.
And so...
Jim Henry was a sports editor. Yeah, still is.
He still is.
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up at the Tallahassee Democrat.
Cool.
So I caught a touchdown pass from Ken Riley.
Put that up on your mantle.
Yeah. And he deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's criminal that he's not in. You know, he's top five, top six all-time NFL interceptions.
Wow.
Played quarterback in college, but because they weren't really black quarterbacks, because, oh, you're not smart enough to think to play the position at the pro level and read defenses and things like that, we're going to move you to another position. Converted to cornerback. So went from being an all-time great college quarterback to top five all-time in interceptions in the National Football League.
What else you want me to do, guys?
And of that top 10 list,
I know this game.
Three people aren't in the Hall of Fame. And there are people that are below him in interceptions.
Wow.
Who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So there is a push. He's passed away now, so he won't be able to see it. Physically, but spiritually.
His family will, and we will.
Yeah.
Wow. Rory Sherrock.
Yeah.
This guy is an encyclopedia on 2 feet. And if we're not taking full advantage of what he brings to the conversation, well, then it's our fault, and we're the less fortunate. But we're going to make sure that doesn't happen, because we're going to grab you by the shoulder once or twice and say, hey, come tell us what we need to know.
Well, God bless you, man.
Not just about FAMU, but about college athletics. One topic we haven't touched and we need to has to do with NCAA decision to let players be retained for endorsements and such. Sue Simmer and I got into talking about that here a couple of weeks ago. We'll save that for another time. We don't want to spend all our money today, right?
No, that's a lot of layers as well.
That's a lot of layers. Folks, he's called Rory Sherrock for a good reason, because his name is Rory Sherrock. That's we're going with that. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all Tallahassee musicians, their original music, all the time. It's the sound of Tallahassee, moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So, come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.